Welcome to Strong Tower Radio Feature, a program that shares, investigates, and seeks out those who serve their communities individually and as organizations. This program was started and founded at the inauguration of the Grand Haven Strong Tower Radio Station, and we featured a Laotian community church serving their community. We went on to share a church that brought a life-size model of the sanctuary to Grand Haven. We went on to share about the Grand Haven musical fountain, 50 years of family-friendly community fun. And then we also talked to the Coast Guard Station, the officers at the Coast Guard Station in Grand Haven, Transit Authority of Grand Haven, Wexford County, and we also talked to the Silent Observer and Crime Stoppers in Genesee County, Flint area, as well as in Masaki, and we've also been to the Missionary Aviation School in Ionia. We're now on a statewide tour of Michigan Adventist Community Service Centers, and we've interviewed the Ithaca Center that started in the home of one of the supporting members and eventually now has a freestanding building that is serving the community. And this year they've got the large goal of putting clothing, My School Closet, in every school of Gratiot County. Today we're in Berrien Springs, Michigan. We're at Neighbor to Neighbor with Laura Meyer. Welcome, Laura.
Thank you very much.
I was glad to be here. Wonderful service. Over how many years has this center been serving the greater Berrien County area?
It's been serving for over 100 years, and we actually serve Berrien, Van Buren, and Cass counties.
Much larger than I even imagine. Well, Laura, I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the interview. Our great Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for those who have taken up your call to serve their neighbors, who minister not only in physical and mental, but also spiritual needs as they become available and see fit. Lord, be with our listeners as they are invigorated and maybe even feel like they want to become involved to engage a community center in their neighborhood. In Jesus' name, amen. Laura, give a scope to our listeners what a community service center is and how widespread they are geographically.
They are spread out throughout the state of Michigan. There are centers in just about every little town or large community, and they, whether it's one church or ours is several churches that sponsor it, they are there to help meet needs that they see in their community.
Would you tell us about what services your center provides to this three-county area?
Sure. One of our main goals is to try to meet physical needs of individuals. So we have a food pantry. We also do household items such as blankets, pots and pans, dishes. We also have a thrift store where people can shop and get clothing, and then they can choose furniture items too. So we try to meet a wide variety of needs.
Who is your clientele?
We serve anyone in need in those three counties. We do have our clients referred to us by other agencies, but there's no like income requirement or anything like that. If someone comes in and expresses a need, we try to meet that need.
Now, you're adjacent to a university that literally serves not only a multiple state area, but the United States, but in some ways the world as a whole, the Andrews University with a seminary. And some of the people that come here, the students and their families have unique needs too. Do you mind sharing that wider experience?
Not at all. We do serve a lot of Andrews University students. We hear stories where students have come from another country with a suitcase. And if you come from a tropical country and you come to Berrien Springs, Michigan, you don't have winter clothing. So we're very glad to have coats and boots and gloves and all the things that you need to survive a Michigan winter. And then, of course, things for them to set up a household. So we are happy to serve our students.
Now, let me, the world turns on money.
It does.
And it sounds like you're very generous in your services, but who sponsors you or how do you get funding for this?
The majority of our funding is actually through our thrift store ministry. We are open to the public. Our thrift store, besides serving our clients, it serves anyone who comes in and wants to purchase something. And we have clothing at very reasonable prices. So if you need a winter coat, you need a shirt, you need something for your children, you can come in and purchase that. We also have things that maybe aren't essentials, but make your home or your life more pleasant. And so the funds from those are what fund the majority of our ministry. We also get funds from some of our local church and community members, but the bulk of it is through our thrift store.
So largely you're self-sustaining.
Yes, we are.
That's a benefit for all, I'm
it
sure.
Is.
The amount that churches give is expanded exponentially beyond what they might be able to help you out. Now, give our listeners a scope of how large. You mentioned three counties, but how many clients do you serve? How do you measure your success?
We see about 3,000 clients a year, and we also do food distributions. This started with the 2020 with the pandemic. We started doing food distributions in our parking lot, and we serve over 2,000 individuals that way every year, where they come through. We do it about five times a year, and they can get a box of food. So that's, you know, about 5,000 people a year that come through for whether it's food or some other services that we offer.
So do you do this all by yourself?
I don't. We have a great team of volunteers that we could not do without.
Could you give us, our listeners, an idea of the scope of your volunteers and staff?
Sure. We have two full-time staff, two part-time staff, and over 100 volunteers.
Wow.
So you can see how essential they are. We just could not function without them. And they do a variety of things, whether it's answering the telephone or sorting clothes or stocking our pantry.
Give us a little history of this individual community service started from.
It actually started from two groups. The Village Adventist Church had a Ladies Aid Society, which the first records were like in 1914, so it's been a day or two ago. And then it was Emmanuel Missionary College, and now it's Andrews University. They also had a group of ladies who started by doing mending. And then in the late 50s, these two groups merged. They got their own building. The building that we're in originally was built in the late 60s. So it's grown, and groups have gone together and merged, and it's quite a history.
Now your ministry has grown, and you outgrew the 1960s building.
We did.
How big was the 1960s building?
It was probably about 4,000 to 5,000 square feet.
Okay, 4,000 to 5,000 square feet. And when did you notice you needed to expand?
That was the original building. When I came as a volunteer and then later staff member, they'd already added on to it at least once. We've added on to it again since I've been here twice, and then we've done a total expansion with the new thrift store.
Well,
so now we're at 20,000 square feet.
20,000 square feet, and so when something is growing like that, you know that you're meeting people's needs and there's a demand for your services. Why don't we take a walk? We're going to move out of Laura's office and we're going to take a walk around the building and have the experience of a client entering the services here. So hold on, folks. Laura, we're in the lobby of the Neighbor to Neighbor. A client, or just imagining it, has just opened the door. The number is 9147, is it St. Joe Highway?
US 31.
US 31. They've just walked into the lobby and they're going to meet Fran. And Fran, what is the experience of the client once they come into Neighbor to Neighbor?
Well, we greet them and ask if they've been here before, and we get some information from them, a referral and picture ID, and then they fill out a form and the interviewers come and call them and take them to the back and share goodies with them.
Okay, is it like free shopping or something like that?
They get clothing, a certain amount of food and furniture, household items that they need.
Now, Fran, they're in this lobby, and there are different doors off to the left and to the right. There's client services. What happens in client services over there?
That's where the interviewers take the clients and talk to them about their needs and the reason why they're here and what they can do for them.
So that's privacy, and but you can get to the real needs and so on and so forth. Laura, I also see a double door off here off the lobby. What's through that door?
We use that for some of our programs that we have.
Yes.
We have addiction recovery groups that meet here. We currently have an English as a second language class and an adult education class. We also have had, not currently, but we've had in the past, a caregiver support group. We've had a nutrition class. We've had financial literacy. So there's just lots of programs that we've had, some ongoing, some periodic. That's one thing we really want to grow, is we want to have programs and classes that can empower our clients to self-sufficiency.
Maybe raise them to a higher level of sufficiency.
Absolutely, because we want to help people and meet the immediate needs they have, but then we also want to help them to help themselves, and of course we want to help them in their spiritual walk.
And what I'm wondering, the thought comes to mind, is they make their way here for the first time, and it's almost like a one-stop shopping in some ways.
It is.
Is that if there's further services, they don't have another barrier, they have to go to another location to possibly get classes. There's probably some anxiety, and getting to a place the first time is the most difficult.
Well, and that's one of the reasons why we feel like we're uniquely located to do that. We also want to try to have some group counseling because, you know, even though we're located near Andrews University, that can be intimidating for people to go on a college campus, where here you've come, they've helped you with food, now you need some other help. It's like you say, it's familiar. We have a good location on a nice busy street, so people know where we are.
It's easy to find.
Easy to find, exactly. And it's nice that we're familiar. You see a familiar face when you come, so that we feel like really is a benefit to the community.
Can you tell a story or two of things that illustrate that experience?
We unfortunately get clients that have come out of domestic violence, and we had a client that came to us that was in that situation, and they had basically left with the clothes on their back. And so we helped them. They were staying with family. We helped them with clothing for her and her children. And then when she got her own place, we helped her with some furniture and other things that she needed to set up her own household. And she was able to go back to school. Also, as part of the services, we had a place where she could meet with a counselor that dealt just specifically with people coming out of a domestic violence situation, so she could come back to neighbor where she felt safe.
They've already served her. She has a record of security and help.
Exactly. So she could come back here, meet with her counselor. Privacy is very important with clients, especially in those circumstances. So people didn't know whether she was coming here to be seen again, to shop at the thrift store, whatever. It was gave a level of anonymousness, which is really helpful.
And is she doing much better?
She's gone back to school, graduated with I want to be anonymous myself, yes, with a degree, and is able to get her life in great shape.
Praise the Lord.
She and her children, so we're very happy for them.
Let's move through the rest of the experience. When a client comes in, they've already seen client services, as Fran has shared with us, and now we're going to go back and follow the process. So Laura, you've just opened up a door here. What is this door?
This is our food pantry, and one of the things that we like to offer our clients is a chance to choose the food they want, because there's no point in giving people food that they don't eat. And so the clients can actually come in and choose their own food.
It's a shopping experience.
It is. And we have toiletries. Many of our clients get like WIC or other programs that supplement, but that does not include toiletries. And so toiletries are really in demand, and there's not a lot of grant funding for toiletries, so we're glad we have the thrift store to help. And then they also can get their bedding and dishes over here, and then they would go and shop in the thrift store. When they do the assessment, they, besides seeing how we can help them, if there's a need that they have that we can't meet, that's when they can do like a referral.
Okay.
So if there's something they need that we can't.
I see there's refrigerators and freezers, so it's not only all dry goods.
Correct. Sometimes we have bread, and we have tried to have milk and butter and cheese and things like that, and that people have and they use.
Absolutely. Where do we go next?
Then a client would go to the thrift store.
Okay, to the thrift store. So I'll close the pantry door. Now, Laura, we've come into a big space. It looks like a store.
Yes.
Tell us about, you said the clients, they go to the food pantry. They've been seeing some service. The person that they meet with, do they have some background that when they go into client services, the person, the intake person?
Yes, the people that do our interviews are social work interns. And so they do their internship here, and it gives them a great opportunity to meet a variety of people and hands-on experience, because this is just not sitting behind a desk. You're actually interacting with people, which is good. A win-win.
A win-win, because that gives a higher level of service that you many other agencies would not have access to.
Right.
And the clients get a better level of service. Well, praise the Lord. We're right now in, it's beautiful. It's a wood-lined showroom right here. It's, how many square feet is this?
The addition was 10,000. Part of that is our new receiving area, but about 8 or 9 are actually the thrift store.
And this is just like, this is a typical thrift store that you would see in many communities around the country.
Yep.
And tell some experiences out of the thrift store.
Well, we are blessed to be able to help our clients, but there's some people that will never come in as a client, but they'll come in to the thrift store, whether it is to shop or just, we have people that come in almost every day we're open, and they just want to have someone to talk to, someone that shares a smile. We also try to have volunteers if someone wants to be, we offer to pray with them. But it's just a friendly face, and you don't realize how many people are looking for that.
That's very interesting. Some people would go down to McDonald's or whatever.
Exactly.
Well, there, some of them come to the thrift store to have that experience. That's wonderful. You said about 8,000 square feet. Everything's organized, well labeled, at reasonable costs.
Yes.
And so this is part of, it serves a community need, especially for persons on lower income.
Right.
So like you said, some people prefer to buy rather than to be given. It provides dignity, I would assume.
Well, and that's the other reason the thrift store ministry is helpful, because just like choosing in the food pantry, you like to choose what you're going to wear, instead of just being handed a pair of pants and a shirt. So they actually, their shopping voucher is good for 3 months, so they can come another time if they don't see what they need. They can bring other family members, and it just, they could shop with anybody else, like anybody else, and then they just give it to the cashier when they check.
Sounds like a fun experience.
It is. I think a lot of our clients are really blessed by that.
Praise the Lord. We have volunteers that are literally putting clothes on the racks even as we speak. You can maybe hear that in the background. Where do we go next, Laura?
You can just kind of see that besides the clothing, our clients can also get curtains for their windows. They can get towels, so we have those things in other places. If they choose, they can buy something to make their home more attractive. We have furniture that is available for both clients and for purchase, and clients can get two furniture items that might be a table and chairs and a mattress and box spring. And then our students can also get a desk the first time they come to neighbor when they've moved here, because as I said earlier, they sometimes come from a long ways away, so they can get a desk and a chair if they need to the first time they come. And it's just, we just try to make it a really welcoming place.
When you mentioned about the students, I think maybe some of our listeners don't realize the diversity and the wide range of where students come for their master's degree, and some of them are going to the seminary. They've been maybe sponsored by somebody else, but they didn't provide their living facilities. So maybe share the number of countries that...
Couldn't even begin to count, but I know Andrews has like 5,000 students, and a significant number are international students, and we get students from all parts of Africa, the Caribbean, just everywhere. And we even have students that feel like that when they come from Florida, it's a different country because the climate is so much different than what people are used to. But we really are blessed to be able to help the students too, and we do partner with Andrews University and try to make that a good experience for students so that when they come here, they're successful.
Let me ask this question. There's giving and taking here. What about volunteers? Do you ever accept volunteers?
Absolutely. Like I said, we can't function without them. And I think the biggest joy I have is when I have a volunteer tell me, I come to neighbor because it's my happy place.
Your happy place.
Yeah. And we think of our Adventist Community Services as we're helping the people that come into our centers, and we are, but we don't realize what a blessing our volunteers get. And I can't emphasize that enough. When you help others, you are blessed as much or more than they are.
Can you give some stories along that line?
We've had a volunteer who was actually one of our prayer volunteers, and she would come when she could. It's a volunteer, so she would come when she could, but many times she would say, I was driving by neighbor to neighbor and I felt impressed to stop. And then she would come in and she had like a lanyard she wore that said, would you like me to pray? And the Lord would send someone that she would pray with. And it was just so empowering for everyone because that person was blessed by her praying with them. And she was like, okay, God used me just in a simple way today, just to say a prayer for someone. And we also are partnering with Andrews for the seminary students. We are getting them now to do a part of some volunteering time as prayer ministers, because that's part of the ministry that we're trying to really grow. I should show you our prayer corner.
Sure, please do.
Because we want not just to meet the physical needs, but we want to meet some of those spiritual needs, which is, of course, Christ's example for witnessing. And when you've helped someone, they're more receptive to the gospel. And so we had students from the seminary come and volunteer as prayer volunteers. But they were amazed because they didn't realize the work that we do. And maybe they were helping someone load a couch, but then you could just have a conversation with that person. And so often we kind of are isolated, but this, you're really in the trenches, if you will, right where people are meeting a need. You can have a conversation. One of the prayer volunteers ended up inviting an individual they met through that to our sewing. I forgot to mention we have a sewing class. And so that's just another bond that they had. And so they could do that together and just kind of friendship evangelism, if you will.
You know, you're in a unique position. You have students coming from around the world. You have seminarians here. You have social workers, and you have all these things, and they're crossing paths for the benefit and glory of each other. I'm thinking about, we're standing right in front of this prayer corner, and it literally is a corner right adjacent to the front door. It has a half wall, which has some level of privacy, but it's also open so that security and just such that in today's environment, it has a kind of like a hearth here, and it has two chairs facing at a 90 degree angle at each other, a time that you could just talk, relax. What I'm also thinking of that cross section that these religion or seminary students are getting practice meeting with real people with real needs, but they may also, that may affect them the rest of their ministry. They may think about a community service center that, or maybe the community center that they go to in their congregation may have maybe not at its high level of service that it once was. And they may have this may give a vision or a prototype, a benchmark for them to affect churches literally around the world.
Well, and we have had people that have come to our center because they do want to start this ministry in their local community. And that, as you say, gives us a really unique opportunity. And every center, as you say, is different, but you can learn from each center. You can pick and choose what works for your community because you want to be meeting the needs that your community has and with the volunteers that you have available. And it's a blessing all around.
Well, Laura, we're coming towards the end of this interview on Strong Tower Radio Features here at Neighbor to Neighbor in Bering Springs, Michigan, which is in southwest Michigan. What is some thoughts or things that you would like to explain to people that they may not understand about Neighbor to Neighbor?
I just think we miss an opportunity when we're not out in our community because we so often want to know how to meet people. We want to meet people that are maybe out of our little circle of friends that we go to church with or even our neighbors that live on our street. And if you have a ministry like this, you can. You can meet people from all walks of life, whether you're in a diverse community like Bering Springs or your own little town. And it really gets you acquainted with the community, serving in the community, helping the community, witnessing the community. And of course, as I said, you'll be blessed as well as those that you meet.
Amen. One of the questions that people have is many of Strong Tower Radios, in fact, most Strong Tower Radio listeners are not Seventh-day Adventists, and they may be wondering, what a wonderful ministry. Is there a place for me in a Adventist community center in my community? And what is the answer?
Yes, absolutely. We are happy to have volunteers that are from all walks of life. We have people that are, of course, Adventists, but we have people that are not. We have people that are doing court-mandated volunteer hours, and that's an opportunity for us to serve. We have students from public schools that need to do hours as part of their curriculum. So if you want to volunteer or you want to help or you need to do hours, you go to a community service center. They'll have a job for you.
So, Laura, we have listeners that listen on their smartphones. So we were walking through here. A lady told us that her brother loves Strong Tower Radio and he listens from Mississippi. So there are Adventist Community Service Centers in Mississippi as well. But this particular one, Neighbor to Neighbor, would you give the address? And if anybody feels like they would like to donate maybe some product to you, but maybe even be a volunteer or would like to receive services from Neighbor to Neighbor, would you give contact information as well as telephone numbers and email addresses or website?
Sure. Our address is 9147 US 31, Bering Springs, Michigan. Our phone number is 269-471-7411. You can contact us online at info@n2nhelps.com, and that's N as in neighbor, the number 2, then N as in neighbor, helps.com. If you want information, you can reach us that way. We're happy to have you contact us any of those ways.
Looks like it's a win-win situation, as you said earlier, for those who give and those who receive. Laura, thank you for being part of our statewide Michigan Adventist Communities Services tour, and thank you for being one of the benchmarks. God bless you.
Thank you.
Well, listeners, you've been listening to Strong Tower Radio Feature on Strong Tower Radio. I'm your host, Tom Mazur. Join us next time as we continue this journey. We're looking forward to going to Kalamazoo, Battle Creek, Lansing, East Lansing, Warren, and Escanaba. We'll see you there. Bye now.